Good morning. Welcome. Kind of all spread out there, keeping cool, not bunching up too tight and getting too warm, I would assume. any announcements for this morning? I was given one from First Service. Women's Fellowship will not be meeting on Monday evening. And then the other announcement I have is the Ken Miedema concert, which is next Sunday evening. It's at 7 p.m. I know a number of the youth are going. Some of the adults are also wanting to go, so I know we're going to try and meet a group here at the church, and I'll head over. It's at Mount Gretna at 7 p.m. So if you haven't been, you should definitely go. He will get you up. He will get you moving. He will get you inspired. He is an amazing person and fantastic music, so highly recommend that. Any other announcements? I don't see any. Our first song this morning, then, This Is My Father's World, hymn number 154. Please stand. Remain standing and join me in this litany. So here we are, together to sing, to listen, to think, to pray, and to show our love and respect to God. Shall we pray? O Father, help us keep alive a sense of our high lineage as your children, amid the labors and duties of our everyday lives. When selfishness and greed prompt us to wrongdoing, may the sense of your nearness restrain our impulses and save us from disgrace. May the inspiration of this hour open our hearts, you may receive us, and discouraged with sympathy and love. When summoned to give our strength to a noble cause, let the influence of our Sunday worship fill us with eagerness and ardor, that we may bring our offering with joy. May it be your will that our prayers not be barren of results. Aid us to make them meaningful and fruitful. Hear our supplication and bless us, for in you alone we trust.
Maybe see. The reading of Scripture today comes from a very familiar passage, but you've never heard it quite this way before. And that's in part because it's my own translation. Some of you may not know I teach New Testament Greek at Elizabethtown College, and so I sometimes enjoy just getting to the original source and reading it there. And in doing so, this time I've chosen to translate the text myself. It also helps me get into it more when I'm ready to preach to do that. So this time I wanted to use this particular translation because it's so familiar to us as a scripture that it's easy for us to, to miss the point unless you get it into fresh language. So I'm not making claim it's better, just different. Context is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is getting to that place in his sermon where he wants to talk about prayer. Now, when you are praying, don't go on babbling along like so many others, for they are imagining that in their wordiness, they'll get what they want. Don't act like them. For your Father already understands what you need before you ask. Our Heavenly Father, even your name is sacred. May your reign be brought to life. Fire come alive on earth as in your spiritual realm. Entrust us today with the day's bread. Forgive us our wrong just as we forgive the wrongs against us. So don't put us into positions of enticement, but rescue us from evil. For when you forgive others their wrongs, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive folk their wrongs, neither will your Father forgive you your wrongdoing. More than something to think about, the prayer offers a model for us. Let's enter into our time of prayer and do so by beginning by singing a prayer hymn that calls us into the right spirit.
Thank you.
Is there an usher available to bring around the microphone? We'd like to ask you at this time for your prayers, your joys, your concerns from this past week, from what might be coming up here in the future. Last evening, we were up at the Lebanon Fairgrounds during the demolition derby, and there was a young man by the name of, I believe, David Dobb, who is related to the congregation, and he was injured and taken away by ambulance to Hershey Medical, so not quite sure what's going on with him, but definitely want prayers for him and his family. Anybody have anything? One back here.
I have a joy. My family is here, some from Florida and some from Wisconsin.
That is wonderful. And let us all say together, we lift this wonderful. And let us all say together, we lift this prayer to you. Week. Will you join me in hymn number 695? Oh, I'm sorry. Will you join me in hymn number 695? Oh, I'm sorry, the confession. I need a hymn book. Because that little... Just find the right page here. Will you join with me? Our lives are cluttered, Lord Jesus, by too many things and too much to do. We are driven by the need to succeed and distracted by our service. We have often lost our way. Forgive us. Let us, like Mary, find the one thing that is needed and sit at your feet. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day, this opportunity to be together, to bring our love together with each other and offer it to you. We give you thanks for the gift of this week, this life, the opportunities you lay before us. As we hear the sounds of the cicada outside, we are reminded of the gift of creation itself, of all the beauty that we have seen around us and we have seen as we've made travels. As we hear the sound of children's voices, we are reminded of the gift of humanity. And we give you thanks. These are important reminders to us. We remember how in the story of creation, in Genesis, how you are reported as saying, after creating the world, you said, it's good. And then when you created humanity, you said, it's very good. And in both cases, you set us as humanity to be caretakers of your creation. We want to be good caretakers of each other and of creation. And we need your help, because there are times we get focused on the wrong things, we get caught up in the busy pattern of life, and we seem to miss what really is important. We so need your help. Forgive us for the times when we've wounded each other or you, and help us as we strive to be your people and caring for each other. We lift before you those around the world who are suffering, whether it be from war, from famine, from corruption, from natural disaster. Help us be alert to ways that we can make a difference. For we want to be your people. And it's in that spirit we continue our prayer in song. On Tuesday, the news broke. You may not be able to see it way back there, but the headline here says, Pastor Terrorized Kids. The youth pastor, the son-in-law of the pastor of the Glad Tidings Assembly of God, made the front page. He was charged with false imprisonment and simple assault on the church's Glad Tidings Assembly of God, made the front page. He was charged with false imprisonment and simple assault on the church's teenagers. The youth pastor, Andrew Jordan, had hoped to give his youth empathy for what the Christian experience might be in some places of the world. Also in the back of his mind was the idea that if some of these young people were to decide to go on a mission trip, they might want to be forewarned of what could happen. Well, what happened in this event? Well, while there is a bit of he said, she said involved in this early account that I read, during a youth group meeting, the lights suddenly went out. Masked men barged into a room with assault rifles. They put pillowcases over the kids' faces and heads, and they took the young people out into vans and carted them away, and finally, when they were allowed to see what was around them, they were in a windowless basement, and there was a curtain drawn between them and where their youth pastor was, evidently being tortured, made all the sounds of that, and threats were being made against the youth. Finally, he comes out, around the curtain, and he's got makeup on to make him look all bruised and bloodied. Can you imagine what that would have done to your kids? I can't imagine what it would have done to me. The Lancaster New Era put it this way: while the church's and Jordan's intentions were not necessarily harmful, they in essence terrorized several children. One girl who happened to be visiting the church ended up with a cut lip, bruises on both legs, as well as feeling terrified. My mind drifted to my friend who I met when I was a freshman at Laverne College way back in 1963. Yes, there was such a thing. He was recently released from prison after being caught by a sting operation. He was charged with a criminal attempt of unlawful contact with a minor. Mind you, this was an ordained minister, a leader in the academic world, taught in a college not far from here, passionately engaged in his denomination and in his local church. He was known for his contributions to church history and his care and support of many Christian endeavors. Now that he's out of jail, he cannot find a job, and even churches are slow to reach out to him. His entire former life is cut off, and he's trying to find his place again in life. Well, what happens when well-intentioned people who would define themselves as moral and spiritually sensitive ruin their own lives and the lives of others? Now, evil, of course, is not just found in the decisions we make. Evil is all around us. It happens in natural disasters. I've just started reading a book called Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese. And in the first chapter, after a list of catastrophes that leaves the heroines baffled by all the death and destruction around her, the author writes about the heroine, Sister Mary Joseph Praise. God used Satan to show her how fragile and fragmented the world was, and how delicate the balance of evil and good, and how naive she was in her faith. We try to avoid thinking about it, but